Tattooing is another illegal and high-risk activity that happens regularly in prisons. Michael Levi, Population Health Corrective Services, New South Wales.
The only jurisdiction that has got, I'd say, body art as against tattooing is Western Australia, and there they've started a program in the women's prison with henna dyeing of skin, so producing a semi-permanent picture on the skin, but there's no skin penetration involved in that. So there's no jurisdiction in Australia where there's tattooing, and certainly not in New South Wales.
Yeah, there's been a number of suggestions, which most of them came out of the 1996 report, the New South Wales feasibility report on the provision of professional tattooing.
Jeff Davey, Hepatitis C Council of Queensland.
Some of the strategies were to facilitate professional tattooists visiting prisons, but again, there's problems with that. I guess there's an issue of duty of care together with the need to monitor what is tattooed. Also, prison tattoos are linked to the black economy of prisons, so payment is rarely in the form of money. If professional tattooists were to enter the prisons to tattoo for security reasons, there would need to be supervision by a prison officer.
Family Planning Queensland recently conducted a henna body art workshop in a Queensland prison. Melanie Costello explains.
We worked with women who, in order to get approval for the henna tattoo, had to attend education workshops. And in those workshops, we looked at what the risks of prison tattooing are, that, you know, it is a risky thing to do and that they may be at risk of bloodborne virus, so hep C, hep B, HIV, from getting prison tattoos. And then I guess the reward at the end of all of that was we had a fun day of henna tattooing where the women, they did their designs, and we did some henna tattooing.
The henna tattooing is a very good idea. Whether or not that would be able to be transferred to males, I'm not quite sure how the male prisoners might actually take the henna tattooing. It might be something that might be more specifically female because it's more decorative.
Lynn Martin, Hepatitis C Council of New South Wales. In Victoria, private health companies such as Pacific Shores are contracted to service prison health needs. Bronwyn Beadle is the state manager of Pacific Shores. Here she explains the medical treatments they make available to people with hepatitis C.
Pacific Shores Healthcare is a primary health provider, and we basically provide primary health to 11 prisons across the state, which is all the government prisons, which is basically providing primary health care to about 2,300 prisoners overall. We actually run hepatitis clinics, and what that involves is the screening. As part of the reception process when you come into the prison, everybody receives like a full physical and mental health assessment, which includes pathology screening as well. And then the results and liver function tests are entered into a database. And so through that database, we have ongoing follow-up screening of the women and basically monitor their liver function tests. As part of the clinic, we also provide a lot of information about how to look after your liver and options such as interferon if that's required.
So are viral therapies offered to the longer-term prisoners?
They're offered to the longer-term prisoners, and that's actually in conjunction with St Vincent's Hospital. So if the liver function tests are indicating that they may require that therapy, or they're requesting further information about that therapy, they're then referred off to St Vincent's Hospital in Melbourne, and they then become part of the liver clinic there. A lot of the they used to have very strict guidelines in Victoria as far as eligibility for the viral therapy, and a lot of the people or prisoners, and particularly the women, didn't meet that criteria because many of them have quite short sentences. But they've now broadened those guidelines, which can incorporate any of the women if they do wish to have that therapy. At the moment, there's no one currently on the therapy.
Conventional therapies for hepatitis C include viral therapies, alcohol and drug management, and maintaining a healthy diet.
With the diet in prisons, mm-hmm. does that meet the needs of someone with hepatitis C?
The diet is managed by it's developed by dietitians and nutritionists. The main, and they do say that the diet is a suitable healthy balanced diet for an adult, and that the diet that they get in prisons, that the inmates get, should be suitable to cover all of their dietary needs in terms of that balance, you know, meat, dairy, fruit and veg, whole grains and pulses and the like. The problems that we find, or that we have heard of with the diet, are that although they're developed by dietitians, the preparation and storage is done mainly off-site. In some prisons, there is some dietary preparation, for example, making sandwiches and cold foods, but the hot foods are actually prepared off-site, and they're brought in chilled, and they're actually then heated up on-site. And so the presentation and the appetizing factors of the diet is probably not something that would be really encouraging the inmates to want to eat it all. So although the balance might be there, it's not necessarily presented in such a way that, you know, it's appetizing.
At EMU's it's okay because we get it's done by, we get rations every day, like you go over to the kitchen and you pick up a trolley of rations for your house to make that night. Whereas at Mullawa, most of Mullawa is the quick chill meals, which is they're mass produced at one of the other correctional centres and snap frozen, and then they just come in these little packages and they get them there, they preheat them, and that's what you get. And they're disgusting, they're absolutely disgusting. A lot of the time it's just sort of stewy, chunky bits, like not good food. Corrective service industries, like they it's a business, and part of the quick chill meal system is an industry. So at EMU's it's better because you get, you know, fresh vegetables and meat that you get to cook a meal yourself with that night. But say you have, like, say you're a vegetarian, it's a problem if you're a vegetarian, absolutely. Like, you have to go on an application and say that, yes, I'm a vegetarian, and no, you'll never catch me eating meat. And then what happens is the kitchen is supposed to supply you with eggs, cheese, alternatives to the meat, but you don't get those rations every day. You get, you know, you might get them every second or third day, so it's difficult if you're a vegetarian.